You're listening to The Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
And I'm Doyle.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ladies and gentlemen, in a surprise announcement last night, actually this morning at about 2:55 a.m., Art Bell announced the end of his broadcast career. As he told his audience, "You're listening to my last broadcast."
You may recall about a year ago, I told you that there was an event, a threatening, terrible event that occurred to my family, which I could not tell you about. Because of that event and a succession of other events, what you're listening to right now is my final broadcast on the air. This is it, folks. I'm going off the air, and will not return. And what I will tell you right now is what I told you then. When the time comes when I can tell you what occurred, I will tell you through the press, through the media of one sort or another. I will explain to you the entire thing. It's not that I want to hold anything back from my audience. For the protection of my family, until it is otherwise revealed, I can't discuss it. I won't discuss it. And if you were in my position, you would do exactly the same thing. And when you finally hear whatever it is, whenever you hear it, I think you will then understand. At any rate, I wanted to tell you, I didn't want to go without saying a word, so I'm telling you now. What you're listening to is my final broadcast. It's been a good run, and you've been a great audience, and it's been an absolutely incredible forum. And my presumption is that the forum will continue. At any rate, it certainly is my hope that the forum will continue. And again, when the time comes, when this information can be released, you can be sure that I will release it. And I would assume, because of the magnitude of the forum that I have held at that time, that you'll get the whole story. But the time will come when I'll tell it. So, for now, and for the foreseeable future, that's it. That is the end of this man's broadcast career. So, thank you, and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is it? What was it that happened to Art Bell over a year ago? What are these subsequent events that he's talking about? All day long, I've been getting email that goes something like this: "William, congratulations for being, in my opinion, instrumental in the undoing of Bobo and B.S. Bell. Who's next, I wonder? Could it be the individual presently residing at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? DXG Well here in New York City last evening and was the last caller talking about the distinction between fascism and communism, etc., etc., etc." Hundreds of these today. Lots of email. Took me until 1 o'clock in the afternoon, am I right,
yeah,
Boyle?
Yeah, 1 or 2 o'clock.
To get through it all. But, ladies and gentlemen, unless our expose on our webpage had something to do with Art Bell's announcement last night, I take no credit for it whatsoever. I have no idea what he's talking about. If anything happened over a year ago that threatened his family, I know nothing about it. I would like to know, and if any of you know how to reach me. You can call our voicemail anytime, day or night, or you can fax us at 520-333-4578. We want to know. We want to find out why Art Bell bailed out of a 20-year broadcast career suddenly with no previous warning. He didn't even tell the conglomerate that syndicates his show. I attempted to call him this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and talk to him about this to get the story. And guess what? His telephone has been disconnected. Disconnected. That's all I can tell you about it. I also got another email. this is from Monty at Radio Free Vermont. Says Bell quits under threats from Clinton goons. Now, this claims to be, says radio host Art Bell blackmailed by Clinton operatives, says by Johnson Glenn, Associated Press writer, and it has the Washington Associated Press byline, but I want to warn you, this could be a joke. Just because it says Associated Press does not mean that it's Associated Press. This article claims that sources close to the Clinton White House are denying a report that late-night radio host Art Bell has been blackmailed by a group close to the president. The report asserts that Bell, a successful radio talk show host with a late-night audience of 20 million listeners, was blackmailed in order to secure commentary favorable to Clinton. Sources said that materials connecting Bell and his cousin, New Age guru Frederick Lenz, were used to threaten Bell. Lenz, known as Rama to a cult following, was deceased earlier this year in an apparent suicide. The incident remains under investigation. Of note in the report was Bell's rapid turnaround in his position regarding the Clinton issue. In his August 17th broadcast, Bell called for Clinton's resignation following the president's now infamous apology. Bell now supports the president. Bell was reportedly so intimidated by the initial threat that he feigned an injury during a broadcast, and he remained off the air for days to consider options. He has since tightly controlled his broadcasts and limits open line calling on the topic while remaining favorable to the Clinton administration. The White House has denied all knowledge of the incident. Again, I want to caution you, just because this claims to have been written by an Associated Press writer, and just because it claims to be an AP news release, does not mean that it really is. It came off the internet just a few moments ago, and I did not have time to confirm it. So unlike other radio hosts who would just get on and read it to you and tell you that it was the absolute truth, I'm telling you, be extremely skeptical. Do not believe it until we have some kind of confirmation. Due to the unexpected announcement of Bell's termination of his 20-plus years in broadcasting, I felt that all of these avenues should at least be considered. We don't know what happened. Nobody knows what happened, to my knowledge. If you know what happened, please let us know what happened. They're after me too, folks, but I didn't quit. I'm still here, and I'm not going anywhere. Art Bell doesn't understand. There's no place to hide, folks. There isn't any place to hide. You got to take a stand sooner or later. We're taking ours. Hey, Art, if you want to join the good guys, get yourself a rifle and come on up here with us. Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen, the best tradition of the Illuminati? He resigned at 2:55 a.m. on the morning of October, yep, you guessed it, the 13th. This has significance in the mysteries. Oh, yes, it does. I don't know what he's trying to pull, folks, but he's definitely pulling something.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello there. Now stop listening to that. Turn that off. It's your turn. You're on the air.
I love your show for one thing.
Well, I do too.
And I've been trying to get a hold of you forever.
And, well, that's a long time.
Oh, yeah. And wanted to tell you that I wanted to hear about that story about the alien, your alien story that you had to tell.
You mean my encounter?
Yeah, your encounter.
Where are you?
I'm in Michigan.
And how long have you been listening to this program?
How long?
Yep.
I just started, actually, about 2 months ago.
Okay. I'll tell it. All right, I'll tell it. This is the last time for a while, okay? This is now 4 years ago. At that time, I was over 4 years, really. I was commuting between here in Pahrump, Nevada, and Las Vegas. There is, between us, a mountain. About 5,000-some-odd foot mountain, big mountain. It is a one-way 65-mile trip between here and Las Vegas. So I commuted this every day to do the radio show that I did in Las Vegas. A lot of commuting. Well, one night coming home after a program, a Sunday night program, it was, I don't know, about 11:20, I guess, at night. And we were, and I say we because my wife was with me in the car. We have little cars, Geo Metros. I like my Geos. And we were in my Geo, and she was in the passenger seat, and I was driving. And I guess we were probably not more than a mile, probably less than a mile from home. And we were traveling on a road from the east going west. My wife said, "What the hell is that?" She had somehow caught a reflection or a light or something and turned around, and she saw this craft, this thing, coming up from behind us. And she was very excited. I said, I don't know. And I pulled the car over to the side of the road. You know, it's a very countrified atmosphere out here. We're in a very, well, to give you an idea, this valley is twice the size of Las Vegas Valley. They have 1 million people, and we have 23,000 people spread out. So it's very country atmosphere out here. And it's very quiet. I mean, you can hear a cricket at a quarter mile, a half mile, you can hear a cricket. Very quiet, dead quiet. So quiet that if you go out there and there's no cricket, you hear the humming in your own ears. I mean, dead silence. That's how quiet it is. It was almost a full moon, a very bright, you know, the air here is very clear, so it's very bright, stars out everywhere. And I stopped the car, we both got out and stood on the street, because there was no traffic. And here coming from behind us was this large triangle, which I would estimate to be about 150 feet from one point of the triangle to the other. And it was extremely low, not more than 150 feet above our heads, maybe even only 100. Low, very low. And it was coming roughly from the west, southwest, to the, east. It would, let me get my directions straight. It would be the east, southeast, and moving to the west-northwest. And it moved directly over our heads. Directly over our heads. Now, it was black in color. There was enough moon that you could see the substance of the craft. It wasn't just lights. There were two lights on the back of the triangle and one on the front strobing. It slowly, and I'm going to guess this object was moving no more than 30 miles an hour. I mean slow. Big, gigantic, the kind of thing where the stars and the moon and the stars just went away when it came over our head. You know, like in the movie. No beams of light came down. It floated. It did not fly. Aerodynamic flight takes, aerodynamic occurrences. In other words, you've got to have lift. You're going fast enough to achieve lift. Aerodynamic lift. This object was defying gravity. And it just floated right over our heads and continued. We stood there and watched it float out across the valley toward the west-northwest for a good, oh, I don't know, 5 minutes, maybe longer, until we could no longer see it. And we came home sort of silently saying, oh my God, what did we see? So that's what it was. There was no sound. I could still hear the cricket, you know, as this thing was passing over. So you tell me what I saw. I don't know. That's the experience. I debated heavily whether I would say anything about it on the air. I finally decided I would. And I dragged my poor wife in to vouch for my story, because I wasn't about to tell it alone. I saw one of two things. I saw military technology that is so far advanced that its revelation would be a gigantic story. Or I saw an alien craft. Either way, it's a big story. And trust me when I tell you that once you have seen something like this, it will change your life. And if it doesn't, then like the earlier caller said, you're a moron. I mean, once you've seen this, you know. You don't know what it is, but you know that it's one or the other, and both are gigantic stories, so there you are. Now, about a week later, 2 weeks, there was a story in our local paper. Lo and behold, we were not the only ones who had seen it. Lots and lots of people here in the Pahrump Valley had seen this object. And the newspaper made an inquiry of Nellis Air Force Base, and they commented. They came back, Nellis, and said, yes, on the evening in question, there had been a secret mission that, their words, may have overflown the Pahrump Valley. They said it was a C-130 aircraft. What an insult. I was in the Air Force. I flew in C-130s. A C-130 does not look like a triangle. A C-130 does not sound like a soundless triangle. A C-130 would have rattled my teeth at 100 or 150 feet above my head. That was an insult to the intelligence of anybody who had seen that object. Nevertheless, that is the story, the official story. Every bit as good as Swamp Gas is C-130. Ridiculous. Well, there it is. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, I don't know whether he saw it or not. I've seen those things, or things similar to them in the Nevada desert myself, have videotaped them. So when somebody comes to me and says, you're full of it, I get out the videotape and let them look at them themselves, is what I do. They're real, ladies and gentlemen, but they're not extraterrestrial. Never were. On October the 13th, October, the great celebrating month of socialism, communism, the Illuminati all around the world, on October the 13th, the number of death and rebirth, death and reincarnation, the number of initiation, the number of crucifixion and resurrection. On October the 13th, at about 2:55 a.m., Art Bell told his listening audience in the world that they were listening to the last show of his broadcast career, which he said had covered over 20 years. His huge website, he said, will remain on the Internet. There will, of course, be great wailing and gnashing of teeth in the gatherings of alien abductees, ufologists, Bigfoot aficionados, time travelers, fellow travelers, six-fingered antichrists, Area 51 government informants, abductors, members of the woo-woo crowd, and, of course, escaped mental patients. My heart goes out to all of them. Poor, misguided souls. You know, I had a great bone to pick with Art Bell until he went on the air and told everybody the truth that his broadcast was just for entertainment, told them to lighten up, stop believing what they were hearing there, and just have some good fun. Once he did that, I could no longer fault him. I faulted him before simply because he knew that there were some misguided and deranged people out there who believed everything they heard on his broadcast from all of the con artists that he trooped in front of that microphone, and he knew that they were falling for it and believe it, and he would rile them up into mass hysteria, and all kinds of crazy things would be going on across this country, and instead of people dealing with what they should be dealing with, they were off chasing aliens, or Bigfoots, or sounds from hell in a hole dug in Siberia. Or other just as whacked out things. But once he actually owned up to what he was doing, that was the end of any bone that I had to pick with Art Bell. And so instead of listening and becoming angry at what he was doing to all those people out there, once he had made that admission and cautioned his radio audience to cool it, chill out, enjoy it. It's just entertainment. That's all it is. That's all it ever was supposed to be. And that's all I ever want it to be. Then I could sit down and listen to Art Bell and enjoy it as entertainment, like I enjoy Rush Limbaugh as entertainment. Now, no one seems to know of the circumstance which Bell claims threatened his family about a year ago, if it actually occurred. No one seems to know any of the claimed subsequent happenings to which he alludes. And in keeping with the theme of his Art Bell Overnight and Dreamland broadcasts, it's all very hush-hush. In fact, top secret. But this time it is Art Bell who is the author of the cover-up, the cover-up of the reason for his retirement. I sincerely hope that he was not threatened. I sincerely hope that no harm comes to him or his family. And I can't imagine why anybody would want to harm him. I mean, you've really got to have a screw loose to believe that, to believe any of the things that you heard on his broadcast. You really got to be sort of off the cliff, hanging in thin air. But what do you want to bet that our recent expose of his status as a fellow traveler membership in the Illuminati and his support of the New World Order has had something, maybe just a minuscule little bit, to do with his sudden disappearance from the airwaves. I don't know the answer to that. But the following quote from his book, The Quickening, will tell you all there is to know. Quote, "Will there be a global government with a benevolent dictator overseeing global law, global police, and a global judiciary in an attempt to make the world cleaner, peaceful, and prosperous? If that's what it takes to achieve these ends, so be it." End quote from The Quickening by Art Bell, page 309. Oh, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's two attempted suicides in the last several weeks. The first was a fraudulent attempt by Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz, and the second was this euphemistic success by Art Bell. Both high-level members of the Illuminati. Do any of you who listen to Art Bell remember anything that happened about a year ago? Did he mention anything on the air about his family being threatened or anything else in the intervening time that could give us some clue as to what's happened? Or should we take this in the second in a series of discrediting and disappearances of major players in the grand deception? It's going to be interesting, to say the least, watching all these people in the next few weeks. Who else will disappear? Who else will have a suicide? Devote the rest of the broadcast to the subject, ladies and gentlemen, because I think it's an incredible thing that has happened. Art Bell was making a lot of money on that broadcast. I don't think I've ever heard in my entire life of anyone just walking in, sitting down in the microphone, quitting, and walking out a radio broadcast or a television show or anything like that, that was making so much money and was so, apparently, so successful. They say, now I don't know if it's true or not, but they say he had around 15 million listeners overnight. You know, nighttime is a different time. I used to stay up real late at night. In fact, that's when I did my best work. There are a lot of people like that. I found that as I've grown older, I can't do that much anymore without some serious repercussions to my health. So now I get up, fairly early or decently early, and work all day and go to bed at a decent hour usually. Sometimes I'll stay up until, maybe 11, 11:30 at night. But no more 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, go to bed, get up at 6 or 7 or 8 and go to work and do it all over again, which used to be my routine schedule. But there are people all over the world who do that. There are people who have jobs at night. There are people whose internal clock is sometimes somehow screwed up. And so they sleep all day and they stay awake all night. And for many years they were hungry for something to entertain them, something that they could listen to or watch besides those terrible, despicable old movies that you find on television in the middle of the night. It seems that Art Bell discovered that need, and he furnished it for an awful lot of people. And a lot of those people loved him and loved his broadcast. A lot of them understood that it was just entertainment and didn't get sucked into the silliness of it all. They didn't get placed on the merry-go-round, spinning and spinning and spinning, chasing their own tail after will-o'-the-wisps. But a lot of them did, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of them did. And it was incredible to turn on your radio and hear things like this. Listen very closely. You may.
Now, here is somebody who calls himself Single 7. Single, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, first of all, thank you for coming on the air.
You're welcome.
That's number one.
I need to tell everyone about this. After the New Guinea tsunami, I'm quite concerned.
The New Guinea tsunami?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's begin. You say at the time of this writing, I am in grave danger. Do you think you're going to be killed?
It's a good chance. I got rid of my homing device, but they're still able. They catch up with me from time to time. And not only do I have to worry about my Trav T group, that's the group I came back with, I have to also worry about the alien men.
You're talking about, you said Trav T group?
Yes, yeah, our travel time group.
You claim to be coming from the year 2063, correct?
Correct. 2063. I'm a paleo ag tech.
When?
I'm not a weather tech. I'm a paleo ag tech. And we're trying, in the future, they're trying to change the weather.
What is a paleo ag tech?
It's kind of boring. I find it fascinating, but a brief description is I was sent back to find the earlier cousins of corn, wheat, tomatoes, things that can survive in a hotter temperature so we can have them, that will use them to splice to make hybrids into the future.
I've got you.
Because we need to raise the temperature of the earth in the future to keep the men away. They can't survive in hot temperatures. They need it very cold and dark.
So You're not any part of the MIM. You're from our own future. You're a human from our own future.
Even been listening the night that broadcast took place, amongst many others. What in the world has happened? We're going to open the phone lines now for those of you who want to talk about this. And if you have any ideas, we certainly would like to know what caused this to happen. 520-333-4578 is the number. And I can imagine there's an awful lot of discussion going on all around the country about this. You see, that's just for a man to go on a radio making that much money, who has a very popular broadcast listened to by millions of people all over the world, to go on and say that because of threats to his family and subsequent happenings over the past year, and then quit that night without even telling the people who syndicated his broadcast or funded it, is incredible. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'd like to say something about Art Bell.
Go ahead.
My name is Tim from Alabama.
Okay.
I have pure speculation, but maybe he just didn't pay his bills. Do you think that could be?
Well, you see, it wouldn't matter because Art Bell did not finance the broadcast. He was financed by the same group that syndicates Rush Limbaugh.
Oh.
And several other real big broadcasters.
I didn't realize that, but I just wonder if it isn't something real simple like that. He got in, if you remember, I'm from Miami originally.
Uh-huh.
Terry King got in a couple of whole lot of years ago, and it was just money, and he didn't pay up his debts. And I wonder if Art just kind of thought he was a little too big to meet his obligations, and that it could be just as simple as that.
Well, you know, you could be right, but why give up the source of your income if you owed a lot of money and needed to pay debts? You don't walk out on a goose that lays the golden egg.
Well, why do people run up debts on their credit cards? I've never understood that, but I know people who run up thousands of dollars as if they never have to pay, and then they get themselves in trouble and they don't know how to get out. So that's only speculation, but I'm just saying it might be something as simple as that.
I understand.
Okay, that's all I have to say. Good luck to you.
Thank you for your call.
Thanks.
520-333-4578. I think it's absolutely incredible. And if it did turn out to be something that simple, why in the world would he claim that his family had been threatened over a year ago and that there had been subsequent events that had caused him to just get on the air and quit? Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, this is cool. Excellent. I've been listening to your show for about 2 weeks.
Can you put your mouth in front of your mouthpiece and talk a lot louder, please? That's much better.
Yeah. I've been listening to your show for about 2 weeks, and I'm just really impressed by the way that they just come right out and tell everybody just exactly what's going on, you know?
Well, I think it's about time somebody in this world stood for something and was dependable. There's nobody in this world that ever has to guess where I stand or what position I'm going to take. Or whether or not we're going to sneak around the truth or slide something in on you or try to manipulate the world. It doesn't happen on this broadcast. And I thank you for your compliment.
Just out of curiosity, okay, being a single white male in this country right now, okay, and knowing full well that the federality is going to try and pull something here within the year to try and flip by and control, if you know what I mean, what would you do to put yourself in a position that you might survive?
I'm not interested in that.
Oh, really?
I'm interested in restoration of constitutional Republican government and the insurance that we will have freedom for all people, regardless of race, religion, or place of ancestral origin. I am for the rights of the individual, and I will take a stand on the front lines of whatever conflict ensues. I will not be hiding in the hills trying to survive, I can assure you.
You rule. That's about all I can say, man.
Well, thank you.
And
I really don't want to rule. I don't want anybody to rule. I want everybody to learn to give freedom to their neighbors so that they can have freedom for themselves and get along with each other, and so we can have a peaceful world and stop being lied to and deceived and manipulated by these social engineers that always think they have the answer for the rest of us. And every time they go with their manipulation and their deceit and their lies to change the world the way they think it ought to be, they screw things up so bad it's incredible. I have no idea. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know what any timetable is. I just know that we're in deep trouble, and we're living in a police state now, and that there are not many freedoms left, and they're just murdering people left and right, and all the sheeple out there just baa and bleat and eat and manufacture methane gas, and they think that they're on top of the world and everything's just hunky-dory. They don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, I know how you feel. Every time I try to somebody else. Sometimes they get a little botched, but I mean, they get made a point across. When I say something, most of the sheep, or as you would put it, look at me like I'm a communist, because I think that a person has the right to bear arms, a person has the right to live freely, not have to live under the code that's prescribed by your county, your congress, your state, insurance laws, and these things. And everybody keeps telling me I'm one card short of a pulled deck, because I'm willing to stake my life just for freedom.
Well, that's because they're so brainwashed and they're so inculcated, and they don't even know what freedom is. They don't know. But I will differ with you on one thing. County government is the real government in this country. On the county level, the people should be deciding what they do in their county, and you should live by the county law.
Well, the only reason I got a problem with the present county I live in right now, Rock Island County, they got so many laws and stipulations, and it's truly a police state as far as what your living conditions are, what kind of house you live in, and what you can do with your
house. Well, you see, that's not true county government. That's incorporation.
Yeah.
See, when they incorporate and they include you as a part of the incorporation, then they think they have the right by contract to tell you what to do. But all you have to do is march in and say, show me the contract with my signature on it that makes me a part of your corporation. I signed up for a county government, not a corporation. Two are different, totally different. And you're probably being infiltrated by home rule, which is really regionalism.
Yeah.
And all of these laws and things that you're complaining about are really the result of federal money being given to the county with strings attached, that if they pass these laws, they get the money, and if they don't, they don't get any money. And, of course, the greedy people in the county want the federal money that they don't even understand. They're too stupid to understand came from them in the first place, and before it gets back to them, a big chunk of it disappears that they never see. If they had just kept it there in the first place, they would have had a lot more. They don't know that. They're playing, all of them are playing with decks with 10 cards in them and 23 cards in them, and you can't find a 52-card deck anywhere.
That's true. A friend of mine had a piece of property out here. He died, but...
No, but we're way off subject. Tonight is Art Bell night. You got something to contribute?
Oh, yeah, Art Bell. A friend of mine used to listen to Art Bell quite a bit, and he was one of the alien believers. He was up for it, and he was kind of crushed, and taken by it because I was hearing rumors that you were under siege today.
No, who put that out?
It was on the internet, from what I understand.
No, it wasn't. Where did you hear it?
I'll find it. I got it.
Where did you hear it?
A friend of mine was listening on the shortwave.
You heard it from Maggie Rose Baker.
Okay.
Maggie Rose Baker.
Concord.
Somebody called her. And like a stupid sheeple, without even checking it out, she got on the air and put out this bad information, like most of the stupid patriots, who are at least people who call themselves patriots, do all the time, every day, with their circulating their fax network crap and their phony documents and their lies. And all she had to do was call me and ask me. That's all she had to do. And there's not anybody in this world doesn't know this phone number that you just called in on.
Yeah, well, I could have called her last night. I got one of the numbers on it. I thought there was something funny, but with hearing that, and then all of a sudden Art Bell pops up, and he's like, "See you later. I'm not coming back." You know, it makes you wonder if he just took his money and run. He hit his limit, and now he's going to Mexico.
I don't know. He just came back from Africa.
Yeah, well,
comes back from Africa, walks in the door, and quits.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Okay.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling.
You. Have a good one.
You too. 520-333-4578 is the number. Remember, stick to the topic. The topic is Art Bell. Why did he quit? If you've got any ideas, we'd sure like to hear them. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill.
Good evening.
This is Gary, Tennessee. Pleasure to speak to you.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, this is just speculation. Another angle on this, and like I say, just speculation on my part, is Art Bell Syndicator, J-Core Communications, got bought out on Friday.
Well, that's true.
So, you know, it might be something as innocuous as a contract dispute. I don't know, but
Well, he said he's never coming back. And not just to Art Bell overnight or Dreamland. He said he's not ever coming back to broadcasting.
Well, that
he said that's the end of his broadcast career, is exactly what he said.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be, you know, having that information, it should be just covering, pulling the wool over people's eyes, I guess. But I just, you know, thought that was sort of, I don't know if it's coincidence or if it's causal, but it just, with the syndicator being bought out on Friday, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you why. That's the most logical explanation I've heard yet, really, truthfully. That could be exactly what it is. Or they may have sold out with the condition that they dump Art Bell, and Art Bell may have decided they're not going to dump me. I'm going to get the jump on them and dump them. He may have had somebody who slipped them a little bit of information.
Well, that's true. And think about it. Think of all the wild theories that are going around the country right now. What better way for him to get out of broadcasting than to, you know, the mysterious Art Bell, you know,
But why would he tell a lie on his family? If it's a lie. I don't know if it's a lie. But why would he say that, well, my family was threatened a little over a year ago, and some things have happened between then and now that have been threatening and have caused me to make this decision?
Well, again, speculation on my part. Perhaps these instances have happened, and maybe he's using that as an excuse because of the new owner. Maybe it's going to put new stipulations on it that he didn't like. Maybe he's just using that as an excuse.
Well, I'll tell you what. Like I said, your explanation or your guess or whatever you want to call it is the most reasonable that I've heard all day long, and I've heard them all. I've gotten hundreds of emails, and a lot of them blame me for it, and I didn't do anything.
Right. Bill, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I listen to the show every night, and I just want to say thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you for calling. In fact, folks, since he admitted what he admitted, that it was all entertainment and don't take it serious, lighten up, and he just spent, you know, quite a bit of time talking to his audience in that vein, there was no reason for me to be angry with him or for me to want him to quit or anything else. As long as the public understands from his mouth what he said, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Same Russia's done the same thing. Mm-hmm. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill and Doyle.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I wanted to kind of set the record straight on something that you guys were talking about a little earlier.
Okay.
The Maggie Rose Baker thing that you were talking about, I listened to her broadcast this afternoon at 2 o'clock Eastern Time, and I heard her briefly talking about you a little bit, and a little later at 6 p.m. on Dan Tompkins' show, Fife and Drum on 947.5.
Yeah.
Dan Tompkins had said something about the same thing, and at the bottom of the hour, Maggie Rose Baker came on, and she was basically fighting mad about what he said. I think it was, you know, half-hearted fighting, but nonetheless, she apparently takes her own shows, and she went back and listened to what she said, and what she came back and said on the Fife and Drum show was that she was assuming that you were under, or, you know, that it was supposed that you were under attack. So just in that regard, I just wanted to let you know that what you've heard is wholly incorrect. And I heard her say it straight out of her mouth that, you know, this is not what she said. So,
if she made an announcement on her broadcast that she assumed that we were under attack, or whether she said we were under attack, makes no difference. It was a false statement that she should never have made. And the reason she came back on and made the apology is because I called Republic Radio and demanded that they do it before a whole bunch of people across this country packed up their rifles and ammunition and showed up here to help us when we're not in trouble.
I hear you, man.
And that's exactly what some people were doing. Yeah. We were flooded with calls.
I bet you were. But I just wanted to say, you know, that I think they're on your side, Bill. I really do.
Well, you know, I don't care if they're on my side. I am tired of so-called patriots getting on the air and reading some facts that just came in without ever even bothering to check to see if it's true.
Yeah.
I am thoroughly disgusted with this floating of bullshit across this country between people as if they've got the inside info on something and they don't even know who the mayor is in their town.
It's
disgusting.
I'm really taking to heart what you're saying about trying to get your act together and get out there and look things up for yourself.
You know, boy, I hope so.
Going home when you look it up for yourself.
Yeah.
And on the Art Bell thing that you were talking about, I talked to a gal today. She was one of the telephone operators there that does sales at the Sea
Not anymore.
Yeah, that's right. But I think they're under the impression that it probably is a syndicator too, although they're not giving me any real information on it.
Yeah, well, that may be true. It's like I said to the last caller, that's the most reasonable explanation that I've heard all day. And to tell you the truth, I didn't even consider it.
Yeah, well, you know, it could have been a joke, too. The whole thing could turn out to be a joke. Because I remember one time when Rush Limbaugh came on when Clinton was getting ready to be president. And he came on at the beginning of his program and said that he was turning Democratic. And everybody flipped on that program. I don't know if you remember that one or not.
No, I don't remember that. But Rush has made the statement several times that if he thought he could get bigger ratings by shifting to the liberal point of view, he'd do it in a heartbeat, and he was dead serious when he said it. He wasn't joking. But do you know what would happen to Art Bell if this turned out to be a joke? His audience would eat him alive.
I know.
There are people who literally had breakdowns and are crying still. I mean, literally crying big alligator tears. That show was their whole life.
I know. It's when I used to work for a major airline, I had a night job. And I used to listen to Art Bell 5 hours a night, every night that it was on. And I thought it was an interesting show, but, you know, it had very little credibility in the believability department.
Well, it was just about two strokes less than zero.
It was a hell of a lot of fun to listen to, you know. But nonetheless, I wondered, though, if it's a joke and he's going to come back on again.
Well, if it turns out to be a joke, and he's done that to his listening audience, they're going to literally eat him up.
Yeah, they'll pound it. Well, anyway, it's been a pleasure to talk to you guys.
Okay, thanks for calling. Well, it's absolutely incredible.
Incredible.
Stand by, folks. We're going to take you once again into the void of
west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hello. That must have been hard to do, especially on short notice like that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Art. How's the weather in Paris, France?
Beautiful. We had a couple of cloudy days and a couple of rainy nights, but otherwise it was partly cloudy, mostly sunny, with occasional full sunny days, so it was beautiful.
No floods or anything?
No, they had those before I got there.
I'm calling from Atoka, Oklahoma.
Yes, sir?
I am the six-fingered alien hybrid.
Cool.
Have you received a package from a Mr. Smart?
Is that you?
No.
No.
If you look through your stuff, I'm sure you're way behind. There's a package there from a Mr. Smart in
Oregon. What's in the package?
Some information about the Hopi elders, about certain star signs.
Well,
and
if you're a six-fingered alien, send me a photograph.
Well, I had the fingers removed when I was born.
What?
Yeah, they did it with my father and my grandfather and so on down the line, and with my children and my brothers and sisters.
Did you have six toes, too?
No, just six fingers.
Six fingers. And so they were removed at birth?
Yes.
Like one might have the foreskin clipped?
Similar.
Mm-hmm.
You have the scars on my little fingers, as do my brothers and sisters.
Send me a picture of your scars.
Well, if you require that, I certainly will.
No, I don't require it. I'm just asking.
I am...
It's quite a statement to make. I mean, how are we to believe? I mean, anybody can say I'm a six-fingered alien, and so is my dad and my granddad and so forth and so on. But
a hybrid of alien blood and human blood.
Now, how do you know that?
I am the fourth Antichrist and the true Messiah.
Really?
Yes.
You are really a busy guy.
Well, not quite so busy yet, but I will be shortly.
In other words, you're about to activate.
Well, we shall all see what we shall see. I just hope the world pays attention and gets ready for what's coming, because if they don't, they will not survive.
All right. Well, look, my time is up for this program, and you'll be the first Antichrist. That's not an opportunity to tell everybody good night.
Good night, America, and I hope you survive what is to come. I hope that you listen very carefully and prepare for what is to come so that you may survive.
Thank you, Mr. Antichrist. You're welcome, Art. Good night.
Good evening. You're on the air.
What a nut.
Really? What makes you say that?
Occasionally my sense of humor lapses these days.
I think it's absolutely hilarious myself. But, you know,
I can add this for more grist for the mill.
Okay.
Bell was on 1210 AM out of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And about a little less than a month ago, I discovered he wasn't there anymore. He was replaced by a health talk show. And I don't really listen to the station that much, so I never really found out why he had left the Philly station.
Huh.
For whatever reason, he had been off the air there.
I doubt if he would have left the Philly station. I think the Philly station probably dropped Art Bell.
It stands to figure. I mean, generally speaking, it's a otherwise serious station.
Mm-hmm.
I was on your chat room a few nights ago, and allegedly Norio Hayakawa was logged on there. Who knows if it was Norio, but I was reading him the Riot Act and telling him what I thought of Art Bell, and he subsequently left. Who knows who he was?
I might have been Norio. You know, Norio and I have known each other for a lot of years.
Well, I wasn't aware of that, and he was saying how he tended to agree with a good many things that you say.
Sounds just like Norio. Yeah, he helped me with my Hollywood High School presentation way back in 1989. And
that's what he said.
Yeah, that was Norio.
Okay. I got this to add, too. Tonight I was watching the McNeil Lehrer News Hour. One or the other of them left. And, again, repeatedly, they're always citing the Charitable Trust polling data, which comes out of their People for, Center for People in the Press. Well, I decided to look up a little bit about Pew, and what I found out was that the elder Pew, who put the money up for the trust originally, who's long dead, he was the founder of Sun Oil Company. And then I went to Who's Who in America, and I found out that his son started a outfit called Helios Financial.
Oh, there you go. The old sun worshippers.
Yeah, more tracks. But otherwise, says they're Presbyterians and Republicans.
Sure. Well, they masquerade as Presbyterians and Catholics and Baptists and all this kind of stuff. But behind the veil, they don't believe any of it.
Yeah. Well, they got a lot of people, all these highbrow, highfalutin intellectual types that run home and watch the McNeil News Hour. They got them snowed under big time.
Hold on, just a second. You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. Okay.
Well, that's all I had for you, Bill.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, 520-333-4578. We will continue with this for one more hour to see if we can reach some kind of conclusion. Maybe I think somebody out there must know something.
Somebody's got to know.
I'll bet you anything. Somebody does. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. It's great to hear you back on the air.
Well, who's this?
I'm Susan from Grand Rapids.
Hi, Susan.
And I've talked to you before. And,
yes, I know exactly who you are.
I beg your pardon?
I know who you are.
Oh, okay, great. You know, I think I've talked to you personally about Art Bell before.
Yes, you have.
And I'm so fond of you, and I was also crazy about him. I know you don't like him.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. That is not true.
Okay.
What I didn't like was what he was doing, leading all those poor people around by the nose who believed everything they heard on his broadcast as if it were all true. And he knew that these people were falling for all of this stuff, and that's the wrong thing to do.
But Bill, you've got sheeple that listen to you, too, that never check out anything you say.
Ah, but you see, I'm not guilty of doing what Art Bell did. I tell them not to believe what I say. I tell them that they're a fool if they don't go and investigate everything they read and hear from every source. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Gotta just... So this is a little relief. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well...
See, I don't do that.
Well, one thing I wanted to say, though, Bill, is whether anybody out there thinks what Art Bell said was gospel or not gospel, a lot of times I thought a lot of stuff that Art said was tongue-in-cheek. And
yeah, but you're sane. He had a lot of people who aren't all there listening to his broadcast.
Right.
who really believed everything that they heard and lived their life by it. I mean, he had people running around seeing aliens landing one night. We were listening to it. One guy called in. This was a normally sane person who worked on the railroad, was a conductor, he said. He said he saw a meteor until he heard the Art Bell show, and now he's sure that it was one of the green fireball alien ships landing.
Well, so I know, and I've heard a lot of nutcases on there, but I've heard great people on there too, like Joyce Riley. Now you know that, and I've heard.
Well,
wait
a minute. I don't know that either. I don't know that. I know that Joyce Riley has made statements that there are entire military bases in this country that are infected with Gulf War disease, and everybody on the base is sick. I've heard her cite figures that 50,000 Gulf War soldiers had died of Gulf War disease. These are all untrue. They are not true facts.
I did not realize that that stuff was not true.
It's not true at all. Go find 50,000 dead Gulf War veterans anyway. Go find me at least even one military base in this country where everybody on that base is infected and sick with Gulf War disease.
I did hear her say that 15,000 had died since coming home from the Gulf War.
Yeah, the numbers have gone down to her credit, but let me ask you this. Find me 15,000 who have died.
That's true.
They don't exist.
That's something that I never really investigated.
You see, but I do. Okay. When I hear these things, I always check.
The bottom line on this whole Art Bell thing is, though, and I got a day job.
Now, bear in mind that after he went on the air and said that it was all entertainment, I had no bone to pick with Art Bell.
Right, right.
Just as I've never had a bone to pick with Rush Limbaugh, because he's always been honest about it. He's always told his ditto heads that it was entertainment, and if they got all wrapped up in it and took it seriously, it was their fault, not his. You can't fault a man when he tells the truth like that. You can only fault the ditto head.
Okay. Well, but...
But see, he didn't do that until just recently. He should have done it a long time ago.
You mentioned that there were people with disturbed sleep patterns that got into this night thing, and that's true. I did.
Yeah, I used to be one of those, too.
And, you know, and I listened to you when you came on at midnight in my time zone, and I've been a radio junkie for a lot of years, so Art Bell really filled some hours for me, too. But in August, I got a day job, so I haven't been listening to him since August. And I didn't hear the show last night, and the shortwave reception here is really rough, and I could hear you playing part of his show. Did he, in fact, say that his family had been threatened?
Yes, he did. In fact, let me, where is it? I'll read the whole transcript of his surprise announcement. He said, and I quote, I'm going to quote him absolutely exactly, okay?
Okay.
You may recall about a year ago, I told you that there was an event, a threatening, terrible event occurred to my family, which I could not tell you about. Because of that event and a succession of other events, what you're listening to right now is my final broadcast on the air. This is it, folks. I'm going off the air and will not return. And what I will tell you now is what I told you then. When the time comes, when I can tell you what occurred, I will tell you through the press, through the media, of one sort or the other. I will explain to you the entire thing. It's not that I want to hold anything back from my audience. However, for the protection of my family, until it is otherwise revealed, I can't discuss it. I won't discuss it. And if you were in my position, you would do exactly the same thing. And when you finally hear whatever it is, what it is, whenever you hear it, I think you will then understand. At any rate, I wanted to tell you. I didn't want to go without saying a word, so I'm telling you now. What you are listening to is my final broadcast. It's been a good run, and you've been a great audience, and it's been an absolutely incredible forum. And my presumption is that the forum will continue. At any rate, it certainly is my hope that the forum will continue. And again, when the time comes, when this information can be released, you can be sure that I will release it. And I would assume, because of the magnitude of the forum that I have held, at that time, you'll get the whole story. But the time will come when I will tell it. So for now, and the foreseeable future, That's it. That is the end of this man's broadcast career. So thank you, and goodbye.
So, Bill, did you make this announcement at the end of last night's show?
About 2:55 a.m., right at the very end of the broadcast.
So there was no discussion on the broadcast about this message?
None at all.
I do recall about a year ago his speaking quite angrily about something that happened to a member of his family, and he wouldn't go into it any further than that. And at the time, he said that he was a person, whether it was right or wrong or spiritually correct or not, who felt that when he or his family had been wronged, no matter what it took him, he would get even. And he seemed to be really distraught about it. And he referred to it a couple of times, and even a couple of his guests said, "Art, that's the wrong attitude to have." And he said, "Well, I don't care. You don't cross my family."
Now, that's the exact same attitude that I have.
Yeah.
Across my family, I'm going to be hunting you down, and that you better be watching over your shoulder, because I'll get you.
See, Bill, what really bothers me about this is just the angle that whether or not somebody likes what Art Bell does or doesn't, is that he had a forum where he spoke to a lot of people who were interested in tuning in and listening, whether they are brainless or thinking people.
No. I can't buy that. Sorry, Susan, but that's total crock of crap. I got to tell you that. That's an absolute crock of crap. There is a responsibility to those of us who are talking to the public. And we cannot get on and do the things that Art Bell did and have the guests on that Art Bell had on, pretending that it was all true and all real and getting everybody all hopped up about some of that absolute insane nonsense without some kind of repercussions. You, I said already, may be a sane person, and you may be able to discern when the person on the radio is just throwing out a bunch of fantasy crap, but I guarantee you there are millions of people out there who cannot make that distinction. And it is criminal to use them in that way.
Well, what do you think, though, if, okay, let's say Art Bell has, in fact, been intimidated in some way, or a family member has been so threatened that even if
that would be terrible.
Be intimidated if they threatened his kid or his wife.
That would be terrible.
This really bothers me to think that, you know, to have you're in radio, to have a show.
Yeah, but you see, I would never quit. I've been threatened so many times; it's pathetic. There's arrest warrants out for me now, and I haven't even broken the law.
I'm not surprised.
They want to kill me. They have done everything in their power to shut me up. But I haven't left this microphone. And if they came and put a gun to my daughter's head and said, "You either shut up or we're going to kill her," I'd say, "Kill her. But don't you ever stop. I'll broadcast every night while I'm tracking you down. And when I track you down, you will pay. Not only you, but everybody connected with you."
Bill, I don't like the idea of somebody being intimidated off the air, if that's true.
I don't like it either.
But
you don't leave the air if you're intimidated, because that's the wrong thing to do.
Well, I find it very distressing, the whole thing. I think it's highly peculiar, because I think that, in you being in radio, I would think that you'd agree that when you reach a level of success, like Art Bell had, where he gets picked up by the syndication group that does Rush Limbaugh, I mean, after a lot of years of struggling in radio, he'd probably come to a point where he's making pretty good money, was pretty secure, and what would it take to walk away from something like that, where you've got your own setup in your own house?
I have no idea, because nothing in this world could ever make me do it. So I don't know. I don't understand that kind of mentality.
Well, it's so strange. I hope that we get to the bottom of it someday, because I just don't like the idea of somebody being intimidated to the point of shutting him up and getting...
Well, if that's what happened, we don't know if he was telling the truth.
Right.
Pardon?
Yeah, you're right. If it is what happened.
Yeah, we have no idea what happened.
Well,
and that's what we're trying to do tonight. Maybe there's somebody out here who knows what happened.
As you said, his audience would never put up with that as a joke, and I agree with you.
No,
I don't think that it's a joke.
No, I don't think it's a joke either. I think he's left the air, and I don't think he's coming back. And I don't think it's a joke. If it is a joke, it's a sick joke, and his audience will just I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes if it turned out to be a joke.
It's damn strange, I know that. And before I go, I hope that you will reiterate, maybe on a future program, since tonight's subject is our bell, what a farce it is to drive Clinton out of office over Monica Lewinsky.
It's not over Monica Lewinsky, my dear. It's over lying to a grand jury. It's over telling a lie under oath. That's perjury.
Okay.
It's a felony. It's against the law.
Right.
If they can put me in jail for doing that, why should he get off if he does it? It has nothing to do with diddling Monica Lewinsky in the Oval Office.
Well, I agree. But what I meant was the larger issue of China looms in the background.
That he should be tried for treason for, in my estimation. And with this impeachment hearing, they have agreed to hold the hearing open so that it's not just closed to Monica Lewinsky. They can bring in anything that they can find, at least until the election's over. You watch that change after the election, mm-hmm. though.
I hope you're right. I hope that it is an open-ended hearing and that they do get to China, because I don't think that anybody gives a damn about this whole Lewinsky or, unfortunately, even the perjury issue. But I really do care about treason.
Yeah, I do too, but we have to care about the perjury also. The president is not above the law. He lied to a grand jury. He has to answer for that. And has nothing to do with what he was doing with Monica Lewinsky. Nothing at all, except that that's the subject of the lie.
Bill, let me ask you one quick question about that.
Sure.
As someone who supported your Constitution Party, I've always had kind of queasy feelings about grand juries as something that maybe started as a tool for the citizens to make decisions, but became a puppet of prosecutors.
You're absolutely correct. The grand jury process has been subverted. It is not operating lawfully at all. The grand jury is an autonomous body. It is not subject to control by anyone, not judges, not prosecutors, not anyone. And the foreman of the grand jury is the man in charge, lawfully. But that's not what's happening now. They pick grand jurors by what process, I don't know, because you'll never see any of the common people sitting on a federal grand jury. What you see are what they call the scions of the community. And what you will also see is they cannot call their own witnesses. They cannot ask questions. They cannot do anything unless the prosecutor says that they can do it, and the whole thing is controlled by the prosecutor. That is a corruption of the justice system. It is a corruption of the grand jury process. It is unlawful. It is illegal. It is wrong.
Well, while I think that Clinton has committed treason in his dealings with China and Al Gore as well.
No doubt about it.
I am sympathetic to the argument of Democrats who defend Clinton not on the perjury charge, but on the whole idea of what is an independent counsel doing pursuing somebody's sex life.
Well, I am too. Do you see anything in the Constitution about an independent counsel?
No.
I don't either.
No.
I don't either. That's a function for the grand jury.
And I would like to hear your opinion on that independent counsel thing too, because I've often wondered, if there's not an independent counsel, would it be up to Janet Reno, God forbid?
No, it's up to a citizen's grand jury. If the process were operating properly, a grand jury would sit to consider these matters, and the prosecutor wouldn't be involved, and neither would Janet Reno.
Okay, so it would not be left up to the attorney general appointed by the president to
No, 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 no. The proper manner in which a grand jury operates is that the citizens living in a certain area pick a grand jury from amongst the citizenry. The grand jury functions as an autonomous body, answerable to no one, and their only power is to seek evidence of wrongdoing and pass down indictments to be handled by the local court. They can't persecute anybody.
Thank you for all the insight.
but they can be used for persecution the way it's being handled now. It is a it's a corrupt system. The whole system is corrupted. It is vile. It stinks to high heaven.
What I'd like to know is, what is the Tsar's motive for making a big deal out of sex when the bigger issues of Whitewater...
I've already addressed that. It's an attack upon the office of the presidency so that they can convince the American people that Ross Perot and Clinton and all these people have been saying is that we need to change the system.
Okay.
They want a parliamentary form of government in this country so that they can have a socialist New World Order. You look everywhere there's socialism, there's parliamentary government.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
That makes total sense.
Constitutional Republican government does not fit in a socialist New World Order.
And do you feel that Starr is a part of this
country? Absolutely he is.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for giving me a chance to speak with you, and it's so good to hear your voice on the airwaves again.
Well, thank you. It's good to hear yours again, too.
All right. I'll call again.
Okay.
Okay, Bill.
Take care. 520-333-4578. There's no doubt that Starr is a part of all of this stuff. There is no doubt that this is an attack upon the presidency. And before all of this is over in the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to find that the United States of America, as we have all loved it and cherished it and been loyal to it, is just not going to exist unless people wake up and get their heads out of their proverbial you-know-what. Good evening. You're on the air.
This is James in Ohio.
Hi, James.
Hi. Have you fellas gone through Art Bell's website very extensively?
It's a big website. I've been there and looked at a few things, but no, I'm a very busy man. To tell you the truth, I just don't have time to do anything like that.
Well,
have you?
What you might notice in investigating, you have, for instance, the New Mexico Constitution.
Can you please talk louder?
You could even see the New Mexico Constitution, which is listed on Richard Hoagland's website. You could see some of Sean David Morton's material. You could see the...
I know all that's there.
Well, the prior programs would include even the executive orders. There's an enormous amount of material on there which would stir controversy.
Everything he's ever said on that show and every guest he's ever had has stirred controversy.
Well,
it's not about controversy. It's about bullshit.
Well, I'm of the opinion that there's only going to be 10 or 20% of the people that ever understand most of the intellectual aspects of government. And what you're hoping for is that you have something eventually that evolves, such as what we have in a constitution, and you have even in merry old England, the Magna Carta. That was not written by the common people. That was written by the nobles and the clergy. And when you're dealing with enough intellectuals that are in Art Bell's website and programming, the people in Washington become very nervous. In fact, when he had Sean David Morton on, he was Sean, that is.
I know Sean David Morton personally, and Sean David Morton is one of the biggest frauds that's ever lived.
Well,
when I first met him
it's
not immaterial. It's right on the mark. When I first met him in 1989, I met him by phone. He called me at my home in Camp Verde, Arizona, and introduced himself as the son of Satan.
Well, he's probably joking with you.
He wasn't joking. He was dead serious.
Okay.
I met him shortly after that. And met him on a regular basis at every conference and lecture hall that I went to speak, and out of Area 51 when I went out there, he was always there. And I know him very well, very well.
I'm more interested in how he would talk on the air with Art Bell. And about 27, 28 minutes after the hour, on the last major interview he had with Art Bell, Art bleeped him off the air and probably tried to caution him or slow him down at the half hour when they had a break, because he was mentioning the murder of Vince Foster and other things were very much a problem for the people in Washington to have on a major media.
No, not from somebody like Sean Morton. Sean David Morton is a total con man, a fraud. Nobody is worried about what Sean David Morton is going to say, except all these people out there who may not know that he's a con man and a fraud, and might believe everything that he says.
Well, I'm also aware that the Art Bell discussion groups are meeting around the country. And if you remember what happened with Ross Perot, you get the fallout called the Reform Party, which came after Ross Perot and sort of dismissed some of his notions. And
may have dismissed some of his notions, but it fulfilled his agenda perfectly. It split the so-called conservative vote so that Democrat could be in the White House. It absolutely destroyed the chances of anyone other than William Jefferson Clinton being elected president on both elections.
It's easy enough to agree with you on the historical basis. What I'm talking about is the unfolding events yet to come. And when people are jarred off balance, when they come back on point, they find out things that they didn't believe before.
Well, you may be right about that.
What's happening now is you have the Reform Party down there putting Hoppe Heidelberg on the ballot right beneath Frank Keating for next November's election.
Well, the problem with that is Hoppe Heidelberg is no more qualified to run for office than Joe Blow that runs the Circle K down here in my town.
I dare say operated rather capably as a grand juror.
You know what he did as a grand juror? He stood up and said, I want to question other people. I want to pursue this John Doe number two.
Sounds good to me.
Well, it sounds good to me, too, but it doesn't mean he knows anything about serving in a public office. The American sheeple now are choosing people to run for office based upon the most ridiculous reasons. You need somebody who can cite the Constitution backwards and forwards, understands it, knows how to read the law, knows how not to be BS'd by somebody coming in his office and giving him something to pass as legislation based upon a little paragraph that supposedly explains everything in it, like NAFTA and GATT. NAFTA weighed 360 pounds. Nobody in Washington, D.C. read it. All of the faxes, telephone calls, and letters that went to Washington were 1,000 to 1 against passing NAFTA and GATT, by the way. Yet what did these clowns do? Every one of them that was elected across this country passed it. Even though it was 1,000 to 1 against passing it, and not a single one of them had ever read it or even knew what was in it. They don't even know who the hell wrote it. Oh, you better believe it.
What we have,
you think Hoppe Heidelberg is going to be any different?
Well, what we have now, the Art Bell situation...
And by the way, I'm not trying to cut down Hoppe Heidelberg. What he did with the Oklahoma grand jury was exemplary. He didn't follow it through because he should have sued because they had no right to dismiss a grand jury member because he wanted to look at some evidence.
Well, the corrupt court system probably doesn't offer much avenue for doing that.
Oh.
Now, what I'm concerned about in the aftermath of Art Bell stepping aside is how that website can be maintained. I believe Keith Rowland has done a very good job with it.
Well, from what I've seen of it, as a website on the Internet, he's done a hell of a good job.
Okay, well, that's about all I had to say.
It's a great website, to tell you the truth.
Have a good show.
Thank you.
Thanks
for calling. Oh, if you think, ladies and gentlemen, if you really believe that the Art Bell Show had any relevance along the lines of saving this country or redirecting the efforts of the sheeple into saving constitutional Republican government and freedom, you're wrong. Had no relevance whatsoever in that regard. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Kevin here for him. Yeah, I was listening tonight, and I just thought I'd just drive down the road. He lives about a mile and a half away from me.
Who's that?
Mr. Bell.
Oh, okay.
Just to let you know, no lights on in the house and no cars in the driveway, but that doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't. Except it would be very strange that he wouldn't be home after he just got back yesterday from Africa.
Right. But the other thing, too, is I know he sleeps during the day. Who knows? Maybe he's asleep. But all these people talking, calling, maybe the guy just wants to put the biggest joke on everybody and say, I quit.
Well, I don't think that would be a joke, because why would he then say that his family had been threatened? I mean, you don't say things like that lightly.
Yeah. I mean, it's just anything anybody comes up with until you, like you always said, until you can prove it. I mean, it's just all talk. And
oh, yeah. Most all the calls so far have been speculation, and we've made sure that everybody knows that. We're going on the premise that maybe there's somebody out there who knows something.
Oh, right.
Like you, for instance. You were able to drive down and report to us that there's no cars in the driveway and the lights are on.
And just like what you've always said, you know, no one knows that I actually did it either, but I just thought I'd just pass that along.
Yeah, well, there's other people out there who can do the same thing.
Sure.
And I know they're listening, too, in the power-up valley.
Right. Well, we'll talk to you later, and I'll keep listening.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
520-333-4578. Yeah, folks, we're not trying to tell you that any of us knows anything about what happened. We're trying to find out. Maybe there's someone who knows. We have had one really good speculation. Good evening. You're on the air.
Cooper.
Yes.
Sam and Merle.
Hi, Sam.
Got tuned in late. Is it open forum?
The subject is Art Bell. You know what happened to him, right?
Yes, Art Bell?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll get that. See you now.
Okay.
Well, I was going to talk about.
All righty.
I wanted to lighten it up a little bit and talk about my granddaughter.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Well,
I love children. You can talk about children on this broadcast anytime.
Two months shy of 3 years old. Excellent vocabulary. Very exceptional, bright. So happens Pop-Pop's babysitting for her this week, and guess what we're going to learn tomorrow?
What's that?
The Pledge of Allegiance.
Hey, fantastic. That's wonderful.
I thought that would brighten your show a little bit.
Yes. It certainly did. You know, Pooh surprised us. We were driving down the road in the car going to some speaking engagement that I had to be at. And I guess we'd been driving for about 7 or 8 hours. And then all of a sudden she was 3 years old. She was sitting in her car seat in the back seat. And I heard somebody saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And I reached up to turn off the radio because I thought that's where it was coming from. And I've heard the Pledge of Allegiance all my life and didn't really need to hear it while I was driving because I was having a conversation with my wife. And the radio was off. And I looked in the rearview mirror, and it was Pooh in her car seat back there all strapped in with a big smile on her face reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, and I have no idea where she learned it.
She was rehearsing for her new job.
She was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I have to go to public school, I figure I'll do whatever I can to drive those change agents crazy.
Well, I think that's wonderful.
Okay.
And that will drive them crazy. It certainly will.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, that was a nice call.
Mm-hmm.
I love those kinds of calls. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
I got the answer to your question.
What question is that?
Why did Art Bell leave the air?
Okay.
It leads credibility, if not even proof, to all them listeners of what he mainly talked about. So, look to the skies.
Look to the skies.
It's nothing but, even though it's a heavens, it's nothing but a big drive-in theater.
Big drive-in theater.
And that's all I have to say.
You can't be more, you can't elucidate a little bit more for us? Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Thanks.
Big drive into you. Well, you know, for those of you who maybe doubt, there are things up there.
Mm-hmm.
Without any doubt whatsoever, I've seen them. I've videotaped them. I've interviewed probably tens of thousands of people who have seen them. And the only thing is that they're not extraterrestrial, folks. They're human.
Mm-hmm.
Human origin. Of human origin. Technology. They're machines. Good evening. You're on the air.
Aloha. Well, Art Bell, I think the reason was free energy. One of his final callers towards the end was a manic depressive like I am, you know. And he mentioned Tom Bearden. And if you know anything about Tom Bearden and quaternion calculus, it just makes the whole economy a house of cards.
Well, I met Tom Bearden. I know of Tom Bearden. I've read all his stuff. But
he's one of my heroes, you know, and I've been a member of the Tesla Society for a long time.
Well, that's good, but, you know, there's something wrong with free energy. You've heard of Joe Newman?
Well, Joe Newman, you know, he works in the higher voltages and...
Well, I'm just using that as an example. Joe Newman has claimed to have a free energy machine for many years. Yet there's something very strange. You see, if I had a free energy machine... And I was running around trying to get people to invest in it and sell the plans for it and all this kind of stuff. I would have hooked it up to my home and I would be using it for free energy. But Joe Newman's not. Neither is Colonel Bearden or any of these other people.
He bought his book maybe. Joe Newman's book maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah, and he still hasn't hooked up any free energy to his house. He's still paying an electric bill.
Well, the nature of 60 cycle energy. Like it's a dictatorship,
Your myths? You're missing the whole point. If he really has a free energy machine, why isn't he hooking it up to his home and getting free energy instead of paying the electric bill? In fact, there is a law that says if you produce energy and put it into the energy grid, the electric company has to pay you. Mm-hmm. How come he's not doing that?
Well, what the Tesla Society is doing right now, they're going across the country with something called HEAT, which is only about 50% more efficient. You can run a 5-kilowatt generator and something they're letting out. But if other people would...
So who has it hooked up...
Over that...
Who has it hooked up to their home?
No.
Let me ask you again. Who has it hooked up to their own home?
Well, people who do.
I'll give you the answer to that. Nobody. And as long as nobody has it hooked up to their home, it's a fraud. Total fraud. I didn't say it was. I have no disagreement with you there. What I'm trying to tell you...
I candled myself.
Well, I've done that too. But what I'm trying to tell you is all these people who claim that they can produce free energy are 50% more energy than what is put in to run the thing, or even 10% more. If they don't have it hooked up to their home...
A lot of people...
It's a fraud.
...are smart enough to figure it out, just don't want to live with it.
Hey, this is not the Art Bell Show. Good night. 520-333-4578. See, that's what I'm talking about, folks. Art Bell would have gone on with that guy for another hour, and they would have been having this wonderful conversation about how free energy is real, and it's out there, and people need to pay attention to it, and they shouldn't be paying the electric company and all this stuff, and it's all baloney. It's a lie. There is no free energy. Good evening. You're on the air. Hi, Michael.
How you doing? Definitely an honor to speak to you, Bill.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to speak to you.
I have a speculation. I made a call to the Art Bell Show. I have just speculation. I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
I speculate about the Illuminati, and I'll just hang up. Thanks a lot. Bye.
You speculate about the Illuminati, and you just want to hang up. I have no idea what that means. 520-333-4578. Art Bell was a member of the Illuminati. We know that for a fact. And he has admitted on his radio broadcast that he is a Freemason. And he admitted one night to a caller, and I heard it, that he is a fellow traveler. Fellow traveler is a code word for Marxist, socialists, and communists to identify each other. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Several weeks ago, Art Bell had Colonel Ed Daines on, and he had mentioned that his cousin, who was a good friend of his, had passed away, and that evidently it was a suicide, and the man was a wealthy man.
Whose cousin are you talking about?
Art Bell.
Oh, you're talking about Rama then.
Beg your pardon, sir?
You're talking about Rama?
I don't recall the man's name.
That's his name. That was his name. He was a New Ager. He called himself Rama. And he did, according to all the news reports, commit suicide, yes, within the last year.
Well, evidently, Art Bell had commissioned Ed Daines to remote view that incident. And perhaps maybe there's some connection there. I don't know. The other thing I have a question for you is, since you are...
Yes.
After the...
In fact, I would say without hesitation that outside of the inner circles of the Illuminati, I probably know more than anybody else living about their particular symbology. I'm the only one that ever cracked their whole story and was able to put it together and reveal it to the American people. Nobody's ever done it before.
There was a photo of President Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and several other... government officials, and I believe it was after the Oklahoma City bombing memorial service for the children.
Yes.
And
Yes. They handed a single red rose out to everyone who attended the memorial service.
And I was wondering if that had any symbolic...
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building was blown up in order to further the agenda of international socialism and bring about a totalitarian world socialist government through the ability to use that incident to disarm the American people and also pass draconian legislation which gives the president unbelievable and unconstitutional powers through the omnibus counterterrorism bill and many of the anti-crime and counterterrorism bills that have followed that incident.
Well, that's all that I have to offer. An interesting program, and thank you for hearing me.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And thank you for being so observant. Oh, yes, the single red rose is the symbol of international socialism. It is the symbol of the Internationale, which is the world socialist body. In fact, I think I read portions of that to you last night. You can go to their website and see it. Yep, the Socialist Internationale. 520-333-4578 is still the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hello.
Hi.
I've heard you mention Arizona and Maine over the shortwave. Where are you broadcasting from?
I'm broadcasting from Arizona over a shortwave station, which is in Maine. No, it's called hooking up through the satellite or through a phone line to the shortwave station, which then puts it on the transmitter.
Okay. Shortwave is new to me. I just purchased one. I've been wanting one for a while.
Well, good for you. I think you'll find that if you tune around and listen to all the different stations that you can find, and especially from foreign countries, you're going to learn that Dan Rather Not, Ted Copulate, and Brian Gumball, and all the rest of them have been lying to you for years.
Oh, sure. I understand that.
Yeah.
I have a question about Social Security numbers.
Uh-huh.
I know they're asked for all the time for another identification form, and what do you feel about that? I know we're not supposed to give it out.
I don't give it out.
Okay, I know when I have three boys, and when they were starting kindergarten, the schools wanted it, and I didn't give it to them. I refused to give it to them. And they just assign them a number. It's used for tracking through school.
Yeah, they'll do that.
Right. And
instead of using it,
now my 16-year-old.
You should go down there and say, you know, I object to numbers on religious grounds. It is
grounds,
on religious grounds. It is biblically foretold that we will be given a number, the mark of the beast.
Okay.
And, you know, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's a way to get rid of that number.
Right.
And tell them, or ask them, say, what's wrong with my son or my daughter's name? Do you have something wrong? Do you have a bone to pick about the name that we gave our child?
Right.
That's the way you will track our child through this school, is by using his or her name, not numbers. You don't need a number for my child.
Right. Now my 16-year-old...
The way I handle it is my children will never set foot. They never have set foot in a public school, nor will they ever. They're homeschooled.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's the way I handle that.
Right. Well, now my 16-year-old was applying for his driving permit, and the Department of Motor Vehicles wants the Social Security number.
No, you don't have to give it to them.
Well, I told them that. Well, what we're doing is going through Mike's driving school, and in New Jersey, if you're...
You can absolutely refuse, and if they demand it, you can sue them because it's a violation of the Privacy Act.
Okay.
And tell them.
Yeah.
It's a violation of the Privacy Act. I don't have to give it to you. I'm not going to give it to you. And if you insist or you penalize us and cause us harm, we will then have grounds to sue you. And if you don't straighten this out right now, the next person you hear from is going to be my legal representative. Or you can just go down and file the papers yourself if you know how. That's what I do.
Yeah. But when I tell them no over the phone and all, they don't want to hear it, you know.
Well, you have to remember that you're talking to sheeple. They're not going to want to hear it until you make them realize that they're going to suffer consequences if they don't do it properly.
Sure.
And the Privacy Act says you don't have to give your Social Security number to anybody.
Right. Now I
ask Taco Bell. They demanded that one of their prospective employees give the Social Security number, and they refused. Taco Bell refused to hire them on those grounds. That person took them to court and won a huge settlement. Huge settlement. Now you know what it says on the Taco Bell employment application? It says Social Security number, and then in parentheses it says not required.
Right. Optional.
Optional.
Huh, about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I called Social Security, the 800 number, and talked to them about it, and they said, well, you know, it's a reputable agency, and you should, you know, give it to them. And I said, well, everybody tells you they're a reputable agent.
It's a con job, if you want to know the truth. Okay. First place, it's not insurance. It is a tax. Second place, there is no Social Security trust fund. And if you think there is, I defy you to find it anywhere. The money goes into the general fund and is used by Congress for anything that they want to use it for. And in the third place, it's a voluntary program that you do not have to participate in. They con you into telling you that you must go get a Social Security number. In my case, I went down to the Air Force recruiter. He told me if I didn't get a Social Security number, I was going to jail. My mom almost wet her pants and took me right straight down to the Social Security office where I got a Social Security number. It's fraud.
Yeah.
And anything perpetrated through fraud, you can revoke because of fraud, which is what I've done.
Now, when I talked to Social Security, and the girl checked with her supervisor, she went off the phone because I said, I want to know how I can avoid giving them my son's Social Security number. So she didn't know. So she checked with the supervisor, and then she come back on.
Privacy Act.
Okay. And she said the supervisor said to tell them that as of September 1998, no longer do foreigners coming into this country have to have a Social Security number to get a driver's license. And I thought, wow, you know, and they want to treat us differently than foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is something new. And Social Security told me this themselves. As of September 98, foreign people coming in do not have to have a Social Security number to get a driver's license.
Neither do citizens of states. Right. Citizens of states don't have to have a Social Security number at all. Unless you want to participate in the government's benefits programs.
Hmm.
Now, if you want benefits from the government, you must get a Social Security number.
Right. Right.
But if you want benefits from the government, you give up your status as a sovereign citizen of a state, and you become a Fourth Amendment citizen of the United States, which is the 10-mile square Federal District of Columbia.
Right.
And if you do that, you lose your constitutional rights and become subject to Congress's ability to legislate in all cases whatsoever. You no longer have protection.
Right. So I just tell them then it would be a violation of the Privacy Act.
Yeah, go get the Privacy Act. Get the whole thing. Take it down there. Say, read this, sucker. I don't have to give you dip, and I'm not going to.
Well,
and if you penalize us or attempt to injure us in any manner because of this, I'm going to sue you personally. Now tell me, what's your name? And, oh, by the way, who is your supervisor? What is their name also?
Right.
In fact, you might as well get them in here.
Right. Now,
don't be afraid of them. They're just clerks that think that they have power that they don't have. They're sheeple. They're stupid as the day is long.
Now, they only know what they're told. It's like a computer. It only knows what it's been fed.
That's right. And they've never looked up any law. They don't know nothing.
Right. Now, the Privacy Act.
It's like a police officer who swears to protect and defend the Constitution for the United States of America, never read it in his life, and then goes out and puts on his Ninja Turtle black costume and starts busting down doors.
Now, the Privacy Act, is that written? Where is that written down at? Where do I find that in writing it?
Ma'am, you are a citizen of whatever state in which you reside. You have a brain that's just as capable of finding that out as I am, and you must learn to do some things for yourself. I have helped you quite a bit. Now, you go find the Privacy Act, and you use it.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'll only dip the spoon in the little jar of baby food so often, folks. And I don't mean that as an insult. It's reality. And the quicker you learn to deal with it, the quicker you can get out of it. For instance, when I found out that I'd been a sheeple all my life, I had to go in the bathroom, look myself in the mirror, admit it to myself, and vow never to be a sheeple again. First, you've got to admit it before you can deal with it. If you can't admit it, you're not ever going to deal with it. Nothing's going to change. Good evening. You're on the air.
Evening, Bill. It's Bruce.
Hi, Bruce.
Down in Texas.
Oh, hey. How you doing?
Just doing absolutely super. All the cancer is gone. One-third of my right lung is gone. No further treatments of any kind. Tell Michael Cunningham that the Isaac FTX formula that he gave me is keeping me clean and clear and just doing a super job.
Well, all the stuff they gave me got rid of mine, too.
Well, that's outstanding.
Yeah.
I really miss you guys.
Well, yeah. We miss you, too. We've been really worried about you. I'm glad to hear that you're all right.
Looking good. Any word of thinking about this year's conference coming up?
We're thinking about it and talking about it. We haven't reached any conclusions yet. We might just have to have it right here, just simply because of the situation in which we find ourselves.
Sure, I understand.
It's not that we're fearful of going anywhere. In this valley, we're safe. It's that some silly police officer who thinks that he works for the federal government when he really doesn't has some obligation to arrest us if he finds us driving down the highway, and if that thought should enter his head, we would have to kill him, and that would probably leave some children orphaned and a wife widowed, and I don't want to be responsible for that, so we will stay here.
Yeah, we don't.
I don't want to hurt somebody because they're stupid.
Yeah, we don't need another Ruby Ridge.
No.
Okay,
but if they want one, I'll damn sure give them one. I'll guarantee you that.
Yeah.
And it'll be different than anything they've ever had before.
Yes, I can understand. So, guys, good hearing from you. You keep up the good work, and I'm finally glad to hear you back on a radio station where I can pick up for a change.
Well, thanks, Bruce.
You take care.
You
love
too.
You guys, but tell Pooh and goodness.
Allison.
Listen, yes. I'm sorry I missed their birthdays.
Okay.
You take care, guys.
All right.
Bruce.
They understand.
Bye-bye.
They understand you were in the hospital. Everybody knows. Okay, folks, we're going to take another call, but before we take the call, tomorrow night we're going to have a special guest, and this is really going to be good. His name is Michael Krim, and he's written a book called, I want to get the title exactly right, Forbidden Archaeology's Impact and Forbidden Archaeology, and he's really going to be a great guest. He was on Art Bell one night, and Art Bell kept trying to get him to say that some of these bones and stuff they had found were proof that extraterrestrials had visited the Earth. So the guy really didn't ever get to talk about his research. Tomorrow night, he's going to talk for 2 hours about all the stuff that he has unearthed and the things that the archaeologists will not admit exist. And it's going to be an incredibly interesting broadcast. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Tom from North Carolina. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good.
Talked to you the other night about the racism remark the man made, and you complimented me after we hung up, but you said I was from South Carolina.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
it's just a joke between North and South Carolina down here.
Oh, I understand those kinds of things really well. Well, you see, they don't have the right to ask for it to begin with, nor can they deny you a license because you refuse to give it to them.
Mm-hmm. And I actually did argue with them, and I got a driver's license. But are you aware that in the state of Virginia, your Social Security number is your driver's license number?
Not if you refuse to give it to them. It is in a lot of states. But you do not have to give it to them. See, sheeple walk in and they say, what's your Social Security number? And they just give it to them.
Okay.
You can say, that's none of your business. It's a violation of the Privacy Act. I'm not going to give it to you.
But here, our driver's license number is something totally different. And I work in a place where I see a lot of driver's licenses. And I've noticed that the driver's license from Virginia has Social Security numbers as the number.
They want, eventually, for all records in all states to reflect the Social Security number. no matter what it is, driver's license, medical record, your whatever.
But there's absolutely no law that says you have to give it to anyone, provided they are not paying you a taxable dividend.
Apparently you weren't listening. There is definitely a law that says you do not have to give it to anyone, unless you're applying for a federal benefits program. Not technically, it's under the law. He has no right to demand it. And if he does, you can say, I'm not going to give it to you. It's a violation of the Privacy Act. And if they fire you because of that, you can sue them and you're going to get rich. Guaranteed.
Interesting. I have no idea of that.
That's because you're still a sheeple.
I'm sorry, sir.
That's okay. I was a sheeple for many years.
Yeah, I try not to be, but
well, see, you're still not questioning. You're accepting what they tell you, and you can't do that. You must question everything, because this is the age of deception, and almost, I can guarantee you, almost everything that you have been taught since you've been born is a lie.
I can pretty much agree with you on that. No doubt.
So you've got to not accept anything anymore, period.
All right, unless you can prove it for yourself.
That's right. So when they tell you that, you say, show me the law that says that I absolutely must give you my Social Security number. And, oh, by the way, have you heard of the Privacy Act, which tells me that I don't have to and that I can sue you if you cause me any damage because I don't?
I've not actually read the entire thing.
Go find it.
I will.
Go find it. Goodbye. Anybody who causes you damages for any reason and they don't have the lawful ability to do that is subject to suit.
I see what you're saying. And
nobody has the right to cause injury to anyone.
Well, I've learned from this experience.
Good.
And keep on doing what you're doing, my friend.
Okay.
And have a good evening.
Thank you.
You and your family.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
520-333-4578 is the number. Don't forget, folks, tomorrow night, Michael Krim, the author of Forbidden Archaeology, is going to be a great broadcast. We're all going to learn something. I'm going to learn a lot from this guy. And believe me, I'm going to pick his brain. So I'm going to make sure that you learn, too, if you're listening. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Bill. This is Mike in LaBelle, Florida.
Hi, Mike.
I want to take a stab at the question with Mr. Archaeology. I think world socialism is getting exposed, and the banking system is suffering because of it, and boat rights and people like Art Bell are being exposed for what they are, which is the Freemasonry and the Illuminati.
Well, you may be right. They may be bailing out before people get too angry, because I got to tell you, the banking system, the economic system's going down.
Yes, it's going down real fast.
Oh boy, it's just amazing. I wish everybody in this country who have investments in paper could see what's happening in all of the countries of the world that is not being told to them on the nightly news here.
And it's all the Illuminati that's running it, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now, this has been engineered. This was purposely caused. They built up this great interdependent system. They created junk bonds and derivatives in order to cause all of this to happen. And it's coming down. I've been warning people for many years about this. I told them not to buy this stupid stuff. But they did. And banks are so heavily invested in junk bonds and derivatives and paper that has absolutely no value whatsoever that it's coming down. And it's coming down real soon. Absolutely. It's all over, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Just waiting for the fat lady to sing. Are you there? I guess he's gone. Well, I'm trying to see what to do here. I guess we can. Let's do this one. Yeah, this is a good one. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you.
listen, one more thing. About that 9 mile hole drill.
Yes.
Now look, I think that it's kind of silly. Maybe, I'm not a geologist, and maybe it would be to your advantage to maybe contact, you know, talk to listeners and see if any geologists are out there. But in my opinion, if you drilled 9 miles down,
mm-hmm.
and you came to a pocket, it was 2,000 degrees.
Yes.
You're talking about molten rock.
Virtually, no.
And aren't you going to create like a volcano? I mean,
you are asking me questions that I can't possibly answer.
Well, I mean, I know that when they drill it for oil, and they hit the pocket of oil.
Yes.
It shoots those drill bits right up out of that hole.
Oh, it does.
And oil follows it.
I know.
And there's so much pressure.
That's correct.
Now, what I'm thinking is...
But they didn't mention in this story pressure. They mentioned a horrid little being that came flying out. Then they mentioned the drill bit turning wildly, and they mentioned a high temperature. But they didn't mention pressure.
But they also mentioned that they lowered a microphone into it.
That's right.
Okay. It's a pretty long extension cord, but anyhow...
Not unreasonable. I mean, it could be done.
Okay, but now I'm thinking there's going to be...
And one other thing, sir. Who says they lowered the microphone to the final depth? They may have just lowered it... in other words, they were hearing sounds, right?
Yeah.
And so they may have lowered it just low enough to get the sounds.
Okay, and granted, I mean...
I don't know.
I have an open mind. And which is one reason I enjoy your show.
You've got to admit what you heard, if you did hear it earlier, did you?
Yes, I did.
Pretty awful.
Well, you know, I mean, I've seen a lot of special effects on TV, and it could be that.
I don't deny it. It could be.
It could be, and I'm willing to accept, you know, either way.
All right, I will agree.